Welcome in State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good, good.
You said you were spraying weeds this weekend, so yeah. It sounds like a fun time.
Weeds grow as fast as corn this time of year.
Yeah.
My corn will make the knee high of our 4th of July.
Yeah. My wife was out watering the garden yesterday morning, and it got so hot and windy, she went out and watered it yesterday evening, too, because we were going to be gone a couple of days. And she said that one cucumber in there grew 2 inches between morning and night.
That's okay.
That's true. That's true. But anyway, everything's going great, I guess. Things are getting a little bit back to normal. Softball tournaments and baseball, Legion baseball, yeah. So... And the outlook is good. I don't think anybody could go through life at any time probably and go in and have a full set of tests and wouldn't find that their immune system is fighting some type of virus at any time of the day, a flu, a cold. So, and now we have another one to the list, but the medical profession has caught up to it, I think, and is ahead of it with...
Here in Nebraska, affecting
the symptoms, especially North Platte's done a wonderful job. I still want to visit with them and find out what they've done, that they've had such a great success rate at the regional medical center. But they have, and they need a pat on the back for it, because they've handled a lot of cases from around the area and only had 2 fatalities where associated to the not the total reason why the people passed away, but... It played a factor. But anyway, so that's good. We're going back to Lincoln, and I've said I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not sick. I can take my temperature every morning. I keep reading up on the mask, and it's a false security that isn't true. I'd rather be on the alert to see if somebody's sick, and if they come near me, then I stay away more than 6 feet. But it's a feel-good... Quite frankly, I'm not to insult anybody because it's a great movement, but wearing a mask won't stop COVID any more than wearing a pink T-shirt will cure breast cancer. It's symbolic. Even doctors get it if they don't wear the respiratory mask in hospitals will get COVID. So there's a lot of reasons. I just don't want to give false to the public that somehow... politicians or somebody wearing a mask is going to make a difference in if you're going to get COVID or not, or if you're susceptible to it, or what the natural process of a virus is through a population. It's going to happen, but I hope the fear factor is a lot less now, I believe, than it was. So we can maybe get back to reality. I don't know why the press is building up this. New surge when the first surge, they had no idea how many people had it. I was talking to a medical professional the other day, and they think it went through North Platte already. If you remember right, the schools,
yeah.
North Platte High and Hershey, and I think it was Maxwell, another school in the area, shut down for a couple of days this year in the winter, in January. And the kids were coming in with symptoms, and...
And thought it was the flu, I believe.
And every test came back, and the doctors were amazed. Never came back as flu virus, the test, and had no idea what it was. So, but we're doing just fine. And it's not the crisis they made it out to be, which, thank God, it wasn't. It isn't.
No.
But otherwise, going down to Lincoln, I'm still pushing for... the discipline. We're meeting with a group out of Omaha that had some concerns about it. Malcolm X group of black parents, and we're concerned about discipline in the school. And I think when we get done meeting with them and show them our intent that we want to make sure every child's treated equally, and with trained professionals on behavioral issues, the teachers, so that. We don't have the incidences where kids are picked on because of their cultural background. So if we can get over that hurdle, it's going to help a lot to get it passed. Of course, Senator Chambers will attack it no matter what. I was talking to another senator. If Senator Chambers brings up anything about what George Washington's human failures were, and or just say J. Sterling Morton, who was accused of being a pro-slavery with Arbor Day, mistakes a human man has made. I'm going to start asking some about his before he gets put into Nebraska Hall of Fame. He was part of those 60 riots in Omaha, tied to some of those radical groups.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know that. Well, a good time to ask him would be on the floor of the legislature before he retires and somebody puts a person with that kind of background in Nebraska's Hall of Fame. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So he might find them questions asked him when I go back. But we will keep onward and upward. The other one, the microtiff, isn't dead yet either. I mean, if we don't get to it this year, the only reason we won't get to it this year is if for some reason certain senators decide to waste 17 days, then we just won't get to a lot of bills. But it'd be the first thing I bring up.
It's going to be tough with the abbreviated session regardless.
Yeah, a lot to get to in a short amount of time.
It depends how much debate we go. And the property tax thing is still being hashed out. We have at least 18 senators that absolutely will not support the economic development package if the property tax 1106 doesn't pass first, a version of it. There's some attempting out there to come up with another gimmick on property taxes where they give smaller schools where extra state aid if they pay for more than 70% of their school with property taxes. Well, that doesn't help Sutherland, doesn't help North Platte taxpayers,
no.
Doesn't help Maxwell. And it actually would help the very rural schools with a lot of property who already have a low levy. But it's what the education establishment and some of the economic development only people are trying to bribe a couple of rural senators with to get to the 33 necessary for closure. It's all politics. But they're holding strong, and the governor has indicated he wants nothing but the 1106. He's convinced now that's the way to go for long-term property tax relief. We'll find the funding, but we put it into statute is the main thing, and then it's a template into the future for other senators how they have to fund their schools and not rely on property taxes to as much as they wanted to. Somebody said over the week, somebody called you, Tristan, and asked, why don't you get an expert on what is TIF really meant to be?
Yeah, we did get that a couple weeks ago on open phones.
Yeah, you're looking at an expert. I've known this stuff.
So you've been studying it long
ago. And the proponents of it understand that. They don't doubt me anymore when I get in a debate with them down in Lincoln. They understand I know the facts. They don't try to pull the wool over my eyes anymore. It all started, if you want to know how it started, our state constitution said all property has to be taxed uniformly and proportionally. Mm-hmm. All property has to. Other states don't have that in their constitution. They can do anything they want. They can pass a law and say, well, this property here doesn't pay taxes, and this property pays less, this property over here pays more. We can't do that in Nebraska. So in 1978, after the riots of the 70s, where slums, we used to call them slums, and the inner cities were burning, it started in Minnesota, I believe. They came up with this idea of tax increment financing, where you give the developer a chance. You rebuild down here where the city is burned out, or you build out here on the interstate,
mm-hmm.
and we will give you help. We will give you take the increased tax valuations and help give it back. The city will use it for infrastructure. If you read the Constitution, it's supposed to be the city goes into debt and the city uses it for improvements. You don't give it to the developer. Fix the streets, fix the sewers, push down RAS, old structures. That's what it was meant to do, period. And we had to put it into the Constitution to give an exception to the uniform and proportional. That's why it passed.
Mm-hmm.
Omaha went. And it passed probably because of Omaha. Because we were one of the hotbeds back in the 60s of inner city riots. And remember, we had Malcolm X and we had Ernie Chambers running the streets back then. We had a lot of trouble. So that's in a nutshell, that's it. It's supposed to be for urban renewal, period. That's mm-hmm. it. if you read all the statutes that's related to it, even in the Constitution, the word is redevelopment. There's nothing in there about economic development. There's other sections of law, 720, which I mentioned earlier about economic development. We have other laws and segments where we aid economic development. This is purely meant for redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought the micro-TIF, trying to make sure it happens in those areas. And folks, when you hear the word blighted and substandard, and you live in an older part of town, the substandard means, heck, your sewer was built 100 years ago under the streets. It's 6-inch pipe and it needs to be 8. It's been, tree roots have grown through it. Your curbs are falling. Your sidewalks have
more infrastructure than anything.
More infrastructure. It's supposed to be infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Blighted and substandard. And then the buildings in the area are supposed, you're supposed to have some areas in the, buildings in the area that are blighted. I mean, purely, you haven't. You got not just North Platte. You go to any older part of town, as you always said, on the other side of the tracks, that was part of an original town that need to be fixed up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. The old Shopco are
the old
here.
Alco.
What's that?
The old Alco.
Alco, yeah,
yep.
Alco. The Shopco we already did. You know, we tiffed it, tore it down, even though by the interstate it was, parking lot was in bad shape. The mm-hmm. building was an old tin building. Not a bad tiff, not a great one, but not a bad one. Elko building down here, and of course the Pawnee Hotel, that's another one. That's the target. That is the target of TIF. It's supposed to be managed and targeted by the city to, you either build here or you build there. That's what it's for, pure and simple. And that's why I've always been so adamant about its misuse, because when you misuse it, it causes everybody's taxes to go up, because you're taking prime property, normal economic growth of a free enterprise system, and taking it off the tax rolls when it should be. The downtown project, that should have been done 20 years ago. I ran into a city council person who's going off the board that I told him, I said, if you voted for this, you finally did something for the last 15 years, right? You're fixing up the downtown, which should have been done a long time ago. With the growth out on the outside of the edge of town, those property taxes coming into the city should have been used to fix up older parts of town, not given back to the developer. So that's the whole nutshell of it, and can't blame the developer. It's an extra ability to make an extra profit margin by applying for it, and if the elected officials it. And how is it policed? Like most of these programs, when they pass these laws, the only policing to it is two things. Is either you sue and use your own tax dollars and go to court and civil court that it's being misused as a taxpayer. There's no policeman to call to say they're misusing it. And the biggest stopgap was the character of the elected officials on a city council and a mayor. That's it. What their character is. What are they willing to bend the rules to get something done? So that's your choice when you vote for people, and that's why it is where it's at. And a couple of lawyers across the state picked it up and found their ambulance they would chase and started a program and went around and selling it, misuse of it across the state. But now you have the history of it and where we're at today.
Yeah.
Don't blame anybody who's applied for it. If it's there and the elected official gives it to you, more power to you. It's a bottom dollar. You're a businessman, and you got to make a profit. But
why not take the shot? I mean,
yeah,
it's understandable.
Well, just this recent one, a developer got in a tight position where his competitors, he was competing against people who were doing it, and he'd never done it before. Builds good homes. They sold quickly. But he got in a situation where he had to play the game. Or try to play the game. So, but I'm going to continue the micro-TIF. I think that'd cure a lot of it. That would give cities, a city could then say, all right, this two-block area right here has six houses that are in bad shape and streets are heaved. We're going to TIF. We're going to blight that substandard. Just this little area. So then the developer would say, all right, well, I can go in here and buy this old burned-out house and I can fix it up and TIF it. Without the legal fees and consultant fees, and fix it up, turn around, sell it, and pass on indebtedness will be a promissory note by the city. They won't right. have to advance any money. And then for the next 10 years, the property taxes are to payment on a promissory note. And the statute will say it's either you got to put a number in there, an estimated number with the promissory note, but it shall not exceed 10 years of tax increment financing, and it's paid in full.
What about the individual that buys a place to fix up? Would they be eligible
for it? Yeah, just fill out a form down at the city hall.
I like that.
And then you've got Ace Hardware selling parts. You've got the Do It Center selling materials to that homeowner. You've got the Menards selling. You got the local lumber yard selling to individuals, small companies, small mom and pop construction companies doing it, or individuals doing it themselves. Instead of 20 houses being built and rafters being brought in by truckloads and shingles being brought in and crews being brought in to build, you want to start what small communities like North Platte needs is small businessmen and small contractors. So that's my goal, is to motivate and to revitalize a downtown, too. And there's a lot of buildings sitting downtown that could be renovated and turned into condos and or restaurants or whatever.
Some sort of living possibility.
Now that the city's finally doing their part and fixing the streets up, where you're not going to get lawsuits because people tripping over busted curbs and stuff when they're trying to walk on the sidewalk.
When you mentioned the work up here on 6th Street earlier, right there along 83, that's all opened up now. Mm-hmm. That's a nice-looking setup.
It is.
They've done a good job. It's nice and smooth. I like what they've done.
Yes, and it's nice to go, instead of sand base, to put a...
Put a hard base. That's one of the things I noticed when they were forming everything up, is they made a well as deep as the brick, so that it's the brick is on a hard surface. It's not going to shift or move.
But think about how well those people are. And they didn't have CADs. They didn't have engineering. They didn't have computer programs.
Oh, they originally did it?
The brick road has outlasted any pavement or any asphalt.
Yep. Like to know the recipe for the brick. Man, those things are hard.
Yeah. They've been baked quite a while with the summer sun laying there. But anyway,
years.
No, I think that's a great thing the city's doing. It gives identity to the town, and it defines who we are, that we care enough that we take care of our streets and our main business district. So, but we'll see if that continues in the community. First, they're going to have to get over some revenue shortfalls. We are at the state, so is the local communities because of the sales tax reductions, and the state's got hit hard too. The Department of Roads has gotten hit hard because people weren't traveling.
No fuel tax for that.
But I'll tell you what, I was out on the road traveling, not this last week, the week before, and the hotels were getting pretty full again. Restaurants were starting to get
good.
Full.
My wife traveled back to Lincoln this weekend to her sister's, just up and back, a 2-day trip. And she said the roads are nuts again with the amount of traffic and people speeding through there.
I-80's back to that normal speed limit of about 100 miles an hour. And
there was a thing I saw the other day, how many... 90-100 mile an hour plus stops that the state patrol made. It's just amazing.
Well, somebody indicated the road construction too on the interstate hasn't changed. It came to a stop somewhere on westbound to a dead stop again on a road that's meant for 75 miles an hour, but it runs about 82, I think. But that's dangerous. I one time I was in one of those last summer, and I called the director I can't pronounce his name, but called him up and said, on the interstate, and I said, you know those signs you got up there that say 82 Nebraskans have died this year on the roads?
Yeah.
Why don't you change that sign to, if you don't slow down, you're going to die.
direct
to the point. You're still alive, buddy. Yeah. Slow down, because, boy, you come up on them construction sites, and it's not pretty. I had to take the ditch one time because some guy was coming up on me really, really fast and not slowing down. And I started going this way, and thank God there wasn't anybody in the left lane, right lane, because he was able to swerve off. But it's not a good – when you traffic slows to a dead stop, there's something wrong there.
Yep.
I also told him, and I said, why don't you hire a traffic engineer who can tell you how long how much traffic is coming, how long a stretch you should have at one lane before you open it up back up to two lane, and start those like Kansas does. You have to merge every other one, keep both lanes full, and tell people to merge left right, and that speeds it up by like 20%, I've heard, or more. Instead of everybody going over, slowing down and trying to get into one lane, yeah, 2-3 miles before the construction. But you know, that's good news that the roads are full again, are getting full again.
Yeah.
The press don't scare everybody about testing.
Interesting, you know, you mentioned that, and the press making all those comments about it. And I was sitting there watching it this weekend and watching where these spikes in corona have been going, and there's amazing coincidence in a lot of cases. There happen to be the places where they had the huge protests and Black Lives Matter things, where everybody's out marching together, not social distancing. You know. Why isn't anybody talking about that?
I know. But it's also in states that their governors have been proactive and they invested in testing, and really, like Nebraska, we had a big spike all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Well, we tested. And we're testing folks, so you're going to have more people test positive. So, I don't know. It's
my hometown, Houston. That was when it spiked.
Did it?
Yep. Yeah. And my brother still lives there.
But deaths have gone the other direction because we've figured out how to treat the symptoms and keep people alive until the immune system, those who are badly affected by it. Anyway, I try to read the true science and not some guy with an English major or sociology major who went into the press and wrote a column, or makes a comment on a talk show. But I do research it with the CDC and things like that, and look back at the quotes of Fauci and the WHO, World Health Organization, what they first said about masks and things.
Mm-hmm.
About its effectiveness. But the peer pressure and the feel-good and the shamers are out there trying to make it into a necessity. But that's where we're at. And I'm not looking forward to going. I'm going down to Lincoln here after I get down here Monday and Tuesday. The state offices are closed on Friday because of the 4th, and I have a staff member leaving the office, got a better job, and I'm interviewing. I hired somebody for my legislative aide.
Okay.
So I gotta get them on rolling because you know, 2 weeks they're gonna be in the hot, deep water.
What
with
a
me.
Time to come onto the staff!
Yeah, I know. what time to leave? But I understand that you—that's great about America. When you're a worker, the only thing you have to sell is your work and your work ethic, and you take it to the highest bidder. Because when you're after 30 or 40 years of gold watch, don't buy much in retirement. So. You take
that's
what
right.
you can get for your yeah. for your labor, and this young lady that was working with me did a great job as my legislative aide, and she's going to go work for the banking department at the state, which is more money and less stress. So, but that's good.
Yeah.
But call the office if you're looking for any help. We're in the middle of about 3 or 4 things. We're investigating something now that happened out at InCorp about I think it's corruption again. But on some sale of some hay out there by the manager on a private phone call number instead of through the office. So we're looking into that and seeing what we can do with that. But which was my constituents informed me about the situation. And with corruption in local government, you need to stay on top of it too, because it does happen at all levels. But... otherwise, I think I'm going to be in a parade again. I last year I didn't walk in any parades because my back was so bad.
Is the back doing better now? It's
yes, it
parade
is.
Worthy at least?
No, but the good news is I can't walk. It's only a car you can be in, so I got an excuse to be in a car.
Are you going to be in Sutherland?
I think I'm going to try to get in the Sutherland parade.
I know that you normally go to that too.
Oh yeah, last year was the first year I missed parades. Just the health wasn't there to do it. So, but anyway, we'll see. Maybe we'll see some of you folks there. We'll give a just no rotten. Oh, good. The gardens are late this year, so it won't be
no rotten tomatoes. Thank you, Senator Groney. We'll see you again next Monday.
Yes.
More coming up on Mugs in the Morning, including our Project Connect Spotlight after we get a check of